blowouts and barn burners that seem to be the story of the week in week two of local high school football. It seemed like every game either went down to the wire or was uncompetitive from minute one. I'm Case Kiefer alongside Ray Brewer on Prep Sports Now. Brewer was at one of the blowouts. I guess I was at one closer to a barn burner, but Brewer, 49-0, you saw Mater Dei smash Bishop Gorman. You've been around a long time. Have you ever seen Gorman take a loss like that?
Yeah, so obviously most times there's a 42-0 final at a Gorman game, it is Gorman that's ahead by the seven touchdowns and the running clock running in its favor. So this was quite the role reversal, and it's really had quite the effect throughout town. Liberty now is only two spots behind Gorman in the Football America poll. Other teams like Arbor that went into California and had a great showing have confidence that they could beat Gorman, because Gorman, for the first time in the Sanchez era since 08, they look beatable. They look normal. I don't know if that's the case. Modern Day, obviously, nationally ranked, one of the best teams in the nation, a ton of speed. They'd played the week prior. I know I'm making excuses for Gorman, and everybody's going to message me that I'm a Gorman homer, but I think there's some slight initial game reaction right now. It's going to be very interesting to see if Gorman again struggles next week. But, yeah, Gorman just had a hard time moving the ball, only had about 200 yards, I think, less than 200 yards for the game. Had a hard time slowing down Modern Day's offense. It was very quick, had some long touchdowns. And it got away from Gorman. So they are back to earth officially, and they are very upset and hungry, and got another game this weekend. They're going to Scottsdale to play Centennial High, and Tywee Walker, the Mojave transfer, is Centennial's tailback. So that'll be very interesting to see. Liberty goes into Saguaro. Offense not great. Special teams and defense is. They get the dub. As I said, Arborview back and forth game in Valencia. They pull it out late. Great performance from their guys. Bubba Davis with buck 80 and a long touchdown. J.J. Tania, 13 tackles, forced fumbles. Niles, the defensive back, two first-half interceptions. Arborview 2-0, two Cali teams. So the big three, that's kind of where they're at right now.
Yeah, if you're going to be called a Gorman homer, I guess I'm going to be called a Gorman hater because I tacked on an extra touchdown there. Only 42-0, not 49-0. I didn't realize the Tywee Walker connection. I think that kid's going to have a little extra motivation for that. And I liked where you went second, even though Liberty had arguably a bigger or better win. I think Arborview going to California and winning 17-14 at Valencia, just because it was kind of unprecedented, and we wanted to see if what we saw was real from Arborview in week one after they had those ridiculous stats that I couldn't even fathom last week on the podcast. That fell in the close game category. 17-14, just a really tough grinding game where Arborview had to make some plays at the end. Kyle Graham kind of embodied all that we think of in an Aggie
running
back. Did I
call him Davis?
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gosh,
well,
darn it.
But anyways, 31 carries for 189 yards. Pretty impressive. And I think that's what Dan Barnson, that's going to be like a clip he should show going forward. What he wants out of an Arborview player, just that hard nose. You're going to get the ball all this time, but you can make something happen. I know he broke out a couple runs on those. Shout out to Arborview.
I know it's the nature of football to worry about your own team, right? You got to worry about your own house before you worry about other people's houses. But do you think, you know, if you're Rich Morocco, do you show up today and you're like, listen, guys, we got a legit chance to win the state championship. We have to keep this up. I need everybody to focus extra hard. Let's get better every second of every day, because the team that beat us 82-6 2 years ago, just lost 42-0, and I think we have a chance. Do you say that, or have you said that every season and it gets old? Because my argument with Gorman has always been, as good as Arbor has been and as good as Liberty has been, they kind of know when the season's going to end, right? And when you play Gorman, there's this mental disadvantage you're always at, right? You always are thinking that you're either A, going to lose the game, or B, if you think you're going to win, the second something doesn't go your way, pick off interception on the first play of the game, for example, if you're Liberty, it's downhill from there. Well, now all of a sudden, Gorman puts its pants on the same way for 1 week, and all of a sudden now mentally you change?
Yeah, the thing is...
Did I just stump you?
No, I'm trying to gather my thoughts. I think it depends. I think it's very dependent on the coach and the program, so I would never tell someone, like, oh, you should give that speech or you should say that, but I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Liberty, I guess where you lost me a little bit is from being around Liberty a little bit and from talking to those kids, I feel like they've gotten over the mental hump despite getting destroyed. It seems like every year they legitimately think they're going to beat Gorman. They might be the only team that thinks that. I don't even necessarily think Arborview thinks that. I think Arborview welcomes it and is like, yeah, we'll play them in the playoffs. But I think they're more prone to what you say as soon as one thing goes wrong. It's here we go again. All that being said, I don't want to sound like a Liberty hater, but if you're telling me right now there's one team in town that's going to beat Gorman this year, who's it going to be? I would pick Arborview.
Okay. Yeah. I think Liberty's going to get first crack, though, right?
Yeah, Liberty would get the first crack. It would be Arborview in the state championship. I just think it's so hard to say. It's so hard to make a case against Liberty after they went into Saguaro and won. I didn't realize they were an underdog in the game, technically, by the rankings and stuff. I did pick against them, but I thought I was going out on a limb there. And they did. They were so sound in ways that, are going to be transferable. They played great defense, special teams where they got all their points. You feel like the offense is the thing that was going to maybe struggle a little bit in the first game. And, you know, it certainly wasn't spectacular with 22 points, but I think it was good enough. I know people were raving about Noah Foa, the new quarterback, I believe's first performance, that he played very well, despite the offense only getting 7 points. So I think there's a case to be made for Liberty, but I just feel like Arborview's been building up to a team like this for a long time, and I feel like that style, maybe it's just because we were just talking about this on the UNLV show, but if you can milk the clock, run the ball for 4 or 5 yards every time, you know, use some of those David versus Goliath strategies we've talked about on the podcast before, maybe there's a chance at the end of the game.
Yeah, here's the deal. I mean, I'm not writing Gorman's, you know, obit, though.
Oh,
I mean,
no, I'm taking Gorman to beat everyone. I'm just saying, you know, Gorman...
Would you make the line if Gorman played Liberty or Arbor right now? Neutral site. Say they're playing at Shap.
Still probably 21, right?
Yeah. I mean, I still think that, listen, Gorman does, you know, it's got some problems, obviously. I mean, when you don't score and, you know, it's embarrassing. But, I mean, I still think that Modern Day is really, really good. And if you circle back to when Gorman started playing all these national games, the sole intention was to get better for league play to win a state championship. And... I mean, what they'll be better, you know. Shout out to the Foothill Falcons. They went up to Reno, beat Galena 49-0. Jordan Blakely took it to the house to open the second half on a kickoff. And shout out to the El Dorado Sun Devils, right? They go into Cali, and they win in San Diego. Big dub. They really ran the rock well, and I know those kids were excited. What was even more cool, CK, is afterwards on Saturday, they were able to stay, enjoy the beach, a lot of administrators there, football team, a lot of the, you know, cheerleaders and band or what have you. So a good experience for the kids, and those guys have to be feeling pretty darn good about themselves.
Yeah, so it wasn't all a loss for Southern Nevada teams against regional opponents. Certainly the El Dorado score was eye-popping, 44-15. It will be interesting to see if they can build on that, and I know that was Brewer's favorite thing of the week to announce, 49-0 Foothill over Galena. I feel like I say this a lot of years, but I always feel like we don't talk about the Falcons enough, and I really think on paper they're the second best team in the Southeast this year. Well, you're already grimacing. I don't see how last year they lost in the final seconds to Green Valley in a game they were leading by like 21 going into the fourth quarter, and other than that they're the two, and they have virtually all their contributors back. I just I feel like there's a clear 1-2 there, Liberty, Foothill.
I see your logic. I just don't know if Foothill's one injury away defensively from the trains going off the track. For whatever it's worth.
What do you base that off of?
I don't know. Just listen. Let me go back to Eldo real fast. I want to say shout out to Michael Perez, 169 yards rushing, and Jalen Malone had 5 touchdowns. And I hope that they lose to Shapp still.
Yep, the cleat game.
And the cleat game. But back to Foothill. Listen, I've already latched my car onto this basic wagon, and I can't go off now. I still think the basic's going to be able to sling the ball around with the best of them. I still love their running game.
That great 13 points in their first game. Really,
in the first game, things happen.
Foothill put up 49.
They just had pads for 5 days, bro. All
right.
Foothill's had pads for a while, and they were playing a weak team from Reno. Not to take anything away from Foothill, but any team you play from Reno is going to be weaker. Right?
I doubt that's true.
Less kids, less athleticism, weaker.
I saw Durango. They're not big on numbers, and not big, period, at all. They're small.
But they got a quarterback who's played forever and a good player in Fotu.
They've got an amazing player, actually. This was brings us to the game I was at. Durango versus Desert Pines. Desert Pines ekes out a 12-6 victory. But anyway, since we're talking about Durango's good players, their best player you didn't even mention, Jaden Nursinger. This kid does everything. He's kind of in the classic mold of you want to get the ball in your best player's hands. He's a receiver. They throw to him every time. He's an edge rusher on defense, gets great pressure. He's the punter, probably the return man. I don't really know that one, but the kid is unbelievable. And I do think, you know, you look at like a big three, and Durango probably has it between Renshaw, Fotu, and Nursinger. They're not going to blow you away or anything, but they're a tough team that's going to stand in there. And like I said, gave Desert Pines a little more of a run than you think. We mentioned the big three, but two of the teams we thought would be right behind them, kind of vying for that division, would be Legacy and Desert Pines. And both of them, not the best showings this week. Legacy lost 26-7 in a game we both picked them to win at Dixie in Utah. And like I said, Desert Pines barely beat Legacy. So do you excuse these performances too as early in the season, or is there a little concern with those two teams?
You know, Legacy, a very young team, sophomore tailback, sophomore quarterback, maybe a junior quarterback, not sure. And they were recovering off of coming from a California trip. So clearly they didn't get a good week of practice in. Dixie's a real good program. I give Legacy a mulligan. I'm still all in on Legacy. Faith Lutheran struggled, a really good team. In Valor Christian, one of the McCafferty boys at quarterback, and he had a great game. Listen, the Faith offense couldn't get much going. Obviously, they didn't score. The Faith defense was decent considering how much they were on the field. DJ Heckard was able to get some pressure on the quarterback. Maya Geoete had a good game at linebacker. So I think defensively they're going to be okay. Use the same theory case with Faith as you would with Gorman, and that they're just trying to play all these games to get better for when league play comes around so they could give Faith a good battle to potentially get to the state tournament.
Faith is the one I left off, and actually I'm glad you brought it up because that's one that actually does concern me. I don't know how you could paint this as a positive. 35-0 for a team that last year they nearly beat. They were right with them. Is really that much change in a year? I thought Faith was supposed to be a lot better. I get getting battle tested going forward, but you didn't even score a point. You lost by 35. I got to feel like this one is one they're going to want to put behind them.
Yeah, and you know, again, they're out there scheduling a really, you know, creme of the creme.
How'd they almost beat this team last year? How can we make excuses for them when they put up 40 some last year and they got shut out this year? Well, you can take the gloves off. What's with the coddling of Faith Lutheran?
It's week one, Case. Let's not overreact. Right?
You don't have to be like, oh, it's okay, guys.
I'm not saying it. It's awful. I mean, you didn't score a touchdown. You couldn't move the ball. It's an awful cross to bear. But it's the first game in the second, third week of August.
All right.
Don't be an alarmist.
Games still count.
Don't be an alarmist.
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm just saying that result was a little alarming to me.
I mean, like, listen, Canyon Springs plays its first game this week.
Okay.
They got to go into Utah to play a team that's already played two games. Are you going to sound an alarm?
Well, no. I guess I have nothing to compare it to. I guess you're not listening to my point.
Maybe
well,
I'm
I can't
not.
Believe,
I'm focused on other things.
What I can't believe is that they almost beat Valor last year and lost 35-0 this year, when the whole narrative that you've told me about Faith going into this year is they're better. They got all these kids back. They're going to be a better team this year. How can you tell me they're better? Last year, all these things were the same thing. They played this game in the first week. They'd only had a few days of practice. They went to Colorado, a tough road trip, another Ray Brewer theory. And I think they lost like 50-40 or something.
It's a great
clearly
theory.
Not because they played terrible at home and they played well on the road. So just explain this to me. What's with the 2-year change? Did Valor pull a Mater Dei and have 19 transfers come in and they're just loaded and that's why I'm overreacting?
Maybe Valor played bad last year.
Their strength between bad and good is
they won state last year.
Okay. All
right. Right? I'm just saying that Faith is not as bad as 35-0. Gorman's not as bad as 42-0. Legacy's not as bad as whatever they lost, 23-7. Desert Pines isn't as bad as 12-10 against Durango. Basic isn't as bad as whatever against Durango.
Yeah, maybe
Foothill
a common
probably not as good.
Durango.
Foothill
Durango's
probably
tough down
is
everyone.
Not as good as 49-0.
I feel like some of these arguments I'm making, though, I'm trying to date back a little into last year. Like, Foothill has a lot back, and they were really good last year. I don't feel like you're giving them any credit for that. Faith was really good last year, has a lot back. I feel like they're not being
I'm giving Faith too much credit.
Yeah.
Foothill not enough credit.
Yeah, exactly.
Legacy too much credit.
Exactly. That's my opinion, at least.
Shout
a Legacy, I don't know. That's a hard one to make up, because from what I read about Dixie, I thought they weren't going to be quite the Dixie of old, real power, like a good team, but not a real power. I'm kind of surprised Legacy didn't put up more of a fight.
I'm telling you, the Legacy thing was travel related. They had a bad they got home over the weekend. They didn't get their lifts in probably on Saturday. Late time preparing, maybe a little too confident because they went into Cali and won. They've heard the theory: any team going to Vegas to Cali is going to lose. They got the dub.
Arborview disproved.
Arborview had a heck of a dub, though. That was a good
El Dorado disproved. This theory is batting like 500 this year.
500? I'll take that any day.
All right. Well, before we get to the picks, let's briefly touch on some. There were some just great close games ones that were here in Vegas that we didn't get to before. Silverado erases a 20-0 deficit from the opening 5 minutes to win 21-20. And just a wild game. What a start to the season for the Skyhawks. Overtime, Coronado scores on fourth down, makes an extra point to win 17-16 against Cimarron Memorial a week after that stunning upset to Democracy Prep. Feel like I'm missing one. Another back and forth game, not necessarily down to the final seconds like those two, but
GV Rally.
Yeah, Green Valley, 20-14.
Your Green Valley Gators.
I don't know if they necessarily rallied. They were down 7-6 maybe for a little bit, but they led most of the game. A game we thought would be good and paid
Virgin
off.
Virgin went up to Pahrump.
Oh, that's the other one I'm forgetting. Yeah. Virgin, I think, went down to the final seconds. 26-24 win. I believe Pahrump went for two at the end of the game. And the Bulldogs' defense stood strong. I think defensive line was one of the places where they actually had some guys back. They lost a lot overall, but those guys, the experience, stepped up, led the way with that big stop on fourth down. So shout out to Virgin Valley as well.
Yeah, great win for the Bulldogs, who are now 2-0. Moapa Valley, big win against Democracy Prep.
Yeah, Moapa Valley wins 41-6, and really even worse than the score looks. Supposedly they had four turnovers in the red zone in the first half. So Democracy Prep, not quite the same team that went into Coronado and won. Moapa Valley looked more like the team we expected in the second half. So another highlight for them, and both teams with a good start in their 3A schedules, so just start building the hype already for that Hammer game. I know they don't want to hear it, but we can't wait for Moapa and Virgin already.
Yeah, and other teams to win. Del Sol got added, and Rancho got a dub against Western.
Del Sol 36-0. I picked Sunrise Mountain on that one. Clearly, no idea what I'm talking about there. And, yep, Rancho lost to Western last year, avenged that defeat. What about I never saw what happened Saturday with Shadow Ridge and Highland? I guess one of the last games we haven't talked about.
Shadow was up 8-0, 8-8 at the half, and Highland pulled away late.
Wow, really good performance, though, to be right there at halftime. I still am expecting something out of Shadow Ridge this year. I would not write them off yet. Any parting thoughts before we pick this week's slate?
Let's do the picks.
All right, try to run through this one pretty fast. We'll start with the Tawee Walker game, Centennial, Arizona, hosting Bishop Gorman.
I just think a lot of folks have overreacted against on this Gorman loss. They're not as good as they've been in the national championship seasons. The bar's pretty high. This arguably is the team that's going to have to work the hardest to win in the Sanchez coaching era. But I think they're now pretty darn motivated to go out there and make a statement, and they get it done.
What's the book on Centennial? We know they have Tawee Walker, and I know they're a good program, but are they are they at the level that Gorman still is, even after that loss? Gorman's a top 30 team. What do you think about
Centennial? Centennial is they're in Peoria. I said Scottsdale earlier. Max Preps say they're the 441st best team in the nation, and they're rated 7th in Arizona. So,
all right, well, this sounds bad after I made you read this, but I was picking Gorman anyway.
Okay.
I've got Gorman, I promise. But I think Tawee Walker finds the end zone at least once. Could be a good game, but a bounce back for Gorman, we agree. Lone Peak from Utah coming to town to play the Liberty Patriots.
You know, for as good as Liberty's defense was, I do worry about that offense. I think they need to break out of the funk and find a way to get some points on the board with the O. They're either going to have to figure out – I mean, this is their first game post-Kenyon Oblad. Are they going to be a running team? Are they going to be a passing team? Who's going to be the guy to get them some yards? I think they find some answers. I think they get a dub against Lone Peak.
Yeah, I think they're in a better spot than Lone Peak. I'm not necessarily as worried about the Liberty offense. I think they're going to get better, as I said earlier. I mean, Saguaro is a really good team. Like I said, I didn't even realize how highly ranked they were.
They're better than Centennial, right?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that team is legitimate. So, for a very first game, it seemed like – I mean, Liberty also had a 21-play drive. I thought you were old-school football Ray Brewer, 3 yards in a cloud of dust or whatever the cliche is. They already showed they can do that. And like I said, the new quarterback got some praise, so he had some okay moments. I think the Liberty offense is going to come together, and I think it might even start this week. I think they score some points against Lone Peak.
They get the dub.
They get the dub. We agree with both games so far.
Very manila this week, CK.
Yeah, we might be vanilla again here, because another Arizona versus Nevada showdown, Hamilton coming to Arborview.
Hamilton's a shell of its former self. Arborview's hot and rolling right now. I know they got back to town late or early Saturday morning. They still practiced on Saturday. The Aggies are ready to go. They get a dub.
Yeah, I know Hamilton, like you said, not rated as highly as before. You have Arborview 38-3, though. That seems crazy. They've had a tough 2 weeks of games. I don't think they're going to lose by any means, but I wouldn't be surprised if they kept it a little bit closer, scored some points. I think Arborview will win this one. Still can't overlook this team. I'm going Arborview over Hamilton as well. Your Faith Lutheran Crusaders. Oh, Hamilton's already lost two games, too. Oh, well, I'm sticking by it. I think it'll be close. I'm sure they've played some tough opening opponents. I'm sure they aren't just breezing by. Brewers Faith Lutheran Crusaders welcoming an out-of-state opponent, too. A lot of in-state games against out-of-state this week. They're playing Bakersfield Christian.
Coached by the Carr brothers, soon to be Las Vegas Raiders quarterback Derek Carr. I think Faith Lutheran, you see what I'm saying? Bakersfield Christian is coached by David Carr and the Carr brother we don't know. whose first name I don't know. Okay.
Darren Carr.
Darren Carr. Derek Carr, who's the Raiders quarterback.
I thought you said Derek Carr was their coach, was the way it came off. I was like, man, that's an ultimate double duty. Gotcha. No, okay. Yeah. So Darren Carr is their coach.
I think Faith Lutheran gets back on track. I don't want to overreact. I'm going with the homer pick. Give me the Crusaders.
Darren Carr, that might change things. I know he's a sharp guy. And now I sound like a Faith Lutheran hater for sure after calling you out for not being harsh enough on them. This is a tough one for me. I think Faith should certainly improve. I can't go against the Crusaders here. I'm not just going to give you a game like that. I don't know much about Bakersfield Christian other than the Carr brothers at the helm that you just taught me. I'm going to go with Faith Lutheran improving, putting up some points, and winning a close game. So Faith Lutheran for both of us. Somewhat interesting game here, Legacy at Centennial.
Yeah, the Thursday night light game, the Longhorns and the Bulldogs, two teams that rely mostly on younger players. Centennial's been involved in two close games in week one against Vista, week two against Green Valley. I don't know if Centennial's got the speed to keep up with the Legacy running game. I like the Longhorns to get it done on the ground, baby.
All these are making me think. I like Centennial this year. I said they were going to be improved, and so far they've shown it. I think this is another close game, but I think ultimately Legacy probably just has a little too much. Seems like they're a little bit further ahead with where they want to be right now. So I guess I'm going to have to keep agreeing with you. Mark it down for 5 in a row, I think that is. I'm going Legacy to win at Centennial. God, just getting all of your favorite teams out of the way. Basic Wolves. Traveling to Clark.
Well, CK, this basic team isn't going to get better by playing Clark, but they're going to get a dub against Clark.
Yeah, I think that you're going to come in here beating your chest because they're going to win a lot of points to a little. There's nothing we can really do about that. Coronado at Spring Valley. This should be a good game, but I think Coronado got it together a little bit last week. I'm going to go with the Cougars here.
I agree. Nice win in overtime. Listen, Coronado's probably still on the outside looking in at the playoffs, but they're not as bad as that disaster in week one against Democracy Prep. As we've said many times before, let's not overreact.
Why is Green Valley in the game of the week like every week? This week, they are hosting Sierra Vista, who fresh off of a bye week after losing to Centennial, Green Valley 2-0 after beating Centennial.
Yeah, good job by Green Valley starting the season strong. They beat a good Moapa team, and they hung tight against a Centennial team that we know has some good players. Now they play Sierra Vista, who gave one away 2 weeks ago against Centennial. Sierra Vista, as we've talked about all offseason, big and physical. They've got some Jimmies and Joes. I think they're going to run the ball. I like the Mountain Lions on the road at the Swamp to get it done against the Gators.
I see where you're coming from. I can't really call you out. They've had some chances to get better, but I'm going to go with the consistency in that Green Valley program. Green Valley over Sierra Vista, it's just hard for me to jump off of them to the Mountain Lions. I will go with the Gators. Next game, Bonanza, who we talked about, blew a heartbreaking loss to Silverado. Chaparral, I believe, opening the season.
Yeah, and you just said the key to the game right there. I think if Shap had a few games under its belt, that they would get the dub. Salt on Wilson, the boys, a few days ago. But I just think with Bonanza having 2 weeks of prep, two games, Shap coming out, it's not going to get pretty for my Cowboys.
Couldn't it be the opposite, that Shap is hungry and ready to play? Bonanza's a little beaten up after two close games?
No, it could be, but you're talking about it's tough to play in your first game against a team that's already strapped it up a few times.
I disagree. I'm going Chaparral.
Yeah.
Why not? I think this is one of the closer games of the week. I'm going with Brewers-Cowboys, one of the first times in history where I've picked them and he hasn't. Cimarron Memorial, looking at 0-2, two close losses, though, and they are going to Silverado.
Yeah, Silverado, I think, take away the initial, 6 or 7 minutes against Bonanza, and they won the game 21-0. I think Silverado's improved this year from last year, and I think they're going to do enough to get it done, but this one's going to be close.
Yeah, another close game that I want to disagree with you on, but Cimarron doesn't really seem like they've learned to win yet. I'm going to go with Silverado. Palo Verde at Foothill.
Yeah, your Foothill Falcons are going to roll in this one. I think Blakely, Reagan, Wilson, they're going to get it done.
I'm not near as confident that they're going to roll. Wasn't this like a great game last year? I think that it went down to the final. It might have even gone to overtime, and Foothill eked it out. I like Palo again this year. You know I'm super high on Foothill. Yeah, last year was 15-14, one of the better games of the year. I can't pick against Foothill, but I do not see them rolling at all. I see this a single-score game either way.
I'll give you – what do you want? Foothill minus 9? I'll take Foothill.
You said they're going to roll.
Foothill minus 10.
No. 10.5.
You got it. $5.
All right. They're first one of the year. I got Foothill Brewers, got Palo Verde. I've got Palo Verde plus 10.5. Brewers got minus 10.5. But we both have Foothill winning. Del Sol at Virgin Valley. Looking a little bit more interesting after last week's results.
Yeah, I think Del Sol found its way offensively. Virgin Valley obviously won a game at the buzzer. Tough to get to Mesquite for the Drags. I'm taking Virgin.
Yeah, I think this is one Ray Brewer theory I have to subscribe to this week. Pretty even game, it looks like, on paper, but in Mesquite, tough to beat the Bulldogs. I'm going with Virgin Valley as well. How quickly you forget you were so high on the Valley Vikings 2 weeks ago. No more. They're 0-2 and going to Moapa Valley.
Yeah, and nobody wins at Moapa Valley, especially teams with two losses. I'll take the Pirates.
Yeah, Moapa Valley's going to keep this thing rolling. I don't think they're even going to have a letdown for a half like they did last week. Moapa Valley for both of us. Rancho at Cheyenne.
Cheyenne 2-0. Shout out to our guy over there, Mr. Coach Ward. Great start to the season. Not perfect by any means, but step in the right direction.
An interesting out-of-state opponent for – I've got Cheyenne, too, as well. I don't think I ever said that one. For the Las Vegas Wildcats, they are playing Gateway from Colorado.
Yeah, Gateway, according to Max Preps, struggled to a 42-0 loss in its initial game. Rancho won the bone game, the two-day bone game, and they had a week off. So I like the Wildcats, even though I said I liked Rancho. Las Vegas beat Rancho. But nonetheless, I like the Wildcats.
Well, 42-0, you sold me. I'm going to go with your Wildcats as well. So Las Vegas for both of us. Not a lot of disagreement this week after the last 2 weeks. Sunrise goes to Pahrump. Looks like it's a work in progress for Sunrise after they were shut out in their debut against Del Sol. Pahrump, like we said, lost that close game to Virgin Valley, but I think they get back on track here. I'll go with the Trojans.
Yeah, in fact, 2 weeks ago they lost a close game to Lowry. I think Pahrump gets a dub this week. Trojans roll.
All right, one more out-of-state game. Snow Canyon, who used to always play Vegas, I guess this year, maybe even last year too, but they're playing Shadow Ridge. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, I think Shadow Ridge playing Saturday in Idaho. Not easy to get back from Idaho to Vegas. Practice schedule's a little mixed up. Snow Canyon always wins when they come into town. And listen, going to Shadow Ridge is like playing in Utah anyways. I got Snow Canyon.
Whew, this is a tough one. Shadow really showed me some things in that what you just described, what they did at Highland. I mean, that was a pretty good performance. Why can't they finish it this week and beat Snow Canyon? Snow Canyon looks like they're 1-1. They won an overtime game and then lost by 2 touchdowns. I know history would say go with Snow Canyon, but I'm going to eschew that and go with Shadow Ridge. Why not? Go Mustangs. Final game, Canyon Springs going to Utah, as you teased earlier. They're playing Orem.
Tough to get your first game on the road in Utah. I'm on that. Hey, if you haven't had the pads on in a real game, it's going to be tough. I got Orem.
Could be close, but I'm going to have to go with Orem as well. Seems like a tough trip for Canyon Springs. One thing I know for sure, next Monday, Prep Sports Now, we will be back here. For Ray, I'm Case. Thanks for listening to Prep Sports Now for another week.